T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
WTIC, thanks for being here. We've had a fun show. I like it. Hope you've been enjoying it. And we've got some good guests coming up, still to come. Let's play a couple of rants to get us there, okay?
Hey, Todd, Jerry from Naugatuck.
Jerry! Jerry is the best guy. He is the number one most polite caller of all time. And he always says, what a great job you're doing. Not you, me. He always says that.
Hey, Todd, Jerry from Naugatuck. Great show as always. The Democrats are more focused on the BS hearings of space aliens than our open border crisis of 200,000 illegal aliens each month. Incredible, incredible. Also, I didn't realize my truck is also electric. I got a shock every time I fill it. Wow!
Isn't that a great joke? Did you hear that, Antonio? Did you hear that joke?
What electric is in his car?
He said he didn't realize his truck is part electric. He said every time he fills it up with gas, he gets a shock.
But I
like that line. That gave me a true delight. I was listening to the rants walking around, and I had a laugh as I was walking around. Delightful. Thank you, sir.
Main menu. To listen, press 1. To send, press 2.
Isn't there
another
one?
For password security, press 5.
That was the end. Sorry. Oh, there was another one from John. That was the funny part.
The other one wasn't long enough.
He had to call back.
May 18th, approximately 4 o'clock. The 25-cent gas tax has been eliminated and now moved all the way up to December. It went from June or whatever and then all the way up to December. Is that an election ploy?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I wonder. It hasn't been eliminated. It's just been negated until the election. That's the way to look at it, absolutely.
The Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah, it's exciting. Here we are doing our thing, which I love doing, and I appreciate you tuning in and being part of it because, you know, you're what it's all about. 860-522-9842. That is the number that you know so well. The one you don't know quite as well, perhaps, is the rant line number, 860-751-4698. I would love for you to call that one and leave a comment on whatever is on your mind and tearing you up. Because, you know, there's a lot of things, and that's what the rant line is for. Call in and put it there whenever you want, and we play it here whenever we want now. That's the new schedule. So it may be hard for you to always hear, but it's very good in terms of the content and richness of what we're doing. So that's it. Now I've got a guest I want to bring back. He's been on once before, Greg Charpentier, and we've got him back because he's in the psychology business. He's a counselor. An interesting take on things in the world and integrates in his counselor wisdom, you know, the wisdom about human psychology. So I like talking to him. Hi, Greg. Welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me again.
Now, I know we had a little chat online, a little text chat about what to talk about today, and I know I agreed to something, but I forget what it was.
So I think that what we agreed to talk about and what I've been thinking about a little bit as I'm sitting here in my car is just why so it seems like so many kids have, you know, like there's way more disorders with kids, like ADHD.
Yes, yes.
But
I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a couple ideas and I have a couple of ideas about why the way it's treated in schools, in my opinion, is just wrong.
And this is to answer the question of why kids have more disorders or...
let's do that. But let's start with something like ADHD.
Good. Okay.
All right. So ADHD is it's a super common disorder with kids now, and I think the reason why it's super common is because the definition of it has become so broad. And what made me think of this is when I came across one of these memes, and I'm looking at it right now, and it lists all the symptoms for ADHD. Like if you notice this in your child, he could have ADHD, he or she, and it's, you know, hyperactive, frustrated easily, short attention span, binge eating, forgetful, hyper-focused, sleep problems, angry outbursts, lateness, impatience, obsessive tendencies, angry, shy, defiant, loud, hypercritical, anxiety, emotional. I mean, and I'm not even reading them all. It just goes on and
virtually on. Every personality attribute that any child might display at any point in their childhood.
Yeah, and it's terrible. And what they do in the classroom is they take this kid, like say he's struggling in the classroom and he's having a hard time with math or science or whatever, and they'll sort of like make it easier for him, and they'll give them more time and they'll do all these things, which is, you know, it's okay, I guess. And you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, I guess. But I think what's important about finding something that you aren't so great at, it's like finding a weakness is the road to finding your strength. Like, we had a kid in our neighborhood growing up that, you know, he couldn't throw a ball. We didn't, like, make the ball lighter or, like, stand real close to him so that he could play with us. He either figured it out or found something that he was better at. He's like, oh, this isn't my thing. Now I need to start looking for something else and become who he's supposed to be.
Wait, they didn't prescribe steroids at school so he could throw better?
You know, I have to quote, because I like to quote, and I don't ever quote accurately, but I mean... I know Einstein has a super famous quote where he says, everyone's a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its life believing that it's stupid.
That
and
it's
that's
a
what
failure,
this, that's
yeah.
what this stuff makes me think of. You
no,
know?
That's great. That's true. But this all fits into the business model of big government, big education, doesn't it? I mean, if you, because I remember when I was in high school, I had a couple of friends who had learning disabilities, they told me, and I didn't know what that was. I was maybe a junior or senior in high school. And they told me, we go to these special, the whole spectrum of problems that kids had, as far as I know, from this one experience, which was all I knew about special problems that kids had in school, was that they were dyslexic and they would flip letters and have trouble seeing the letters as what they were. That's all. That was the whole range of problems that got treated by this woman who was the specialist at the school. And that just really stood out to me, because we've grown from there to where now it's like it seems like every kid has his own IOP. Is that what it's called? What's that thing they get?
IEP or 504. But it's just like if there's no, it takes away from the accountability, too, because then it's like, oh, if that child, if they do something good, it's like, oh, wow, you were able to do that even though you have, you know, ADHD.
Even though you're a pathetic thing, yes.
Right, right. Right. And then, or it could be that have the opposite thing, which is even worse. And it limits them. It's like, I could never do that because I have ADHD. Mm-hmm. My own mother, it's funny that you mentioned that because my mother, I remember saying that when she was a kid, they said that she was a slow learner. And my mother is like this voracious reader. She's philosophical and smart and awesome in so many ways. But, and so she's almost 70. And she remembers that, and I'll hear her say that at times, like, oh, like, I'm not going to do that, like, you know, take this class or do this thing because I'm a slow learner. It's literally followed her whole life.
She can't shake it.
It's like, no, you're not, Mom. No, you're not. Someone just said that to you, and you took it and run with it.
There's no evidence to support it, but she's got it locked in her perception of herself.
It's like we're doing this thing where it's instead of we're not looking at, like, what's good about these kids? Like, all right, so yeah, maybe you're not that great at math, but what are you good at? Instead, we're really focusing on what's wrong with them instead of focusing on what's right with them. I think it's just, you know, it's all part of like the shift in society. Because as I'm talking about it, I think that you can apply this to just about everything. You know, what about bullying? You know, that's another thing. That's
the magnification of.
The broadening of the definition. So bullying used to be a thing where maybe this person had to be elevated from you or bigger than you, at least your peers. Maybe it happened in school. But now it's like, I can go to work and I can get bullied. And the other thing, Todd, that kind of scares me about bullying is, so my child, I guess he got in trouble for bullying,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few weeks ago. And I was kind of disappointed because I'm like, that's not who we are. Like, we would never do that. And he couldn't really, I could tell after talking to him for a little while, his intention wasn't to bully. He wasn't trying to be a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Some other kid perceived what he was saying as being a bully. And I'm like, well, hold on. And I was telling the teacher, I was like, I think that to be a bully, there has to be some kind of negative intention. You can't just walk around accidentally being a bully.
Right.
Because when I bring it to his attention, he's like, oh, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I didn't even know. So, I mean, it's trauma.
Yeah, but don't you feel that part of that comes from the desire of those who are in these big systems to grow their systems all the time? And once you have a department and a budget item and desks and people filling those desks whose job it is to take care of people with special needs, then the natural order of things is that you find new special needs all the time. And then you have to hire people to solve those problems, and parents start demanding them, and principals start feeling devastated if they can't provide the solution, and you have an industry born, and there's nobody pushing back against it. And how do you stop growth, runaway growth, if there's nobody pushing back?
Yeah, you're right, and that's a good point. I mean, when we think of disorders in general, like mental health disorders, I mean, there was something like maybe like 150. I mean, this isn't a super accurate number, but I do know now there's almost 300, you know, just from like maybe the 50s. So it's double.
And part of that is the people who make the list, they don't want to get bullied because they didn't have bullying on the list.
Right. And, you know, it's like you create language for something like ADHD or oppositional defiant disorder or these things that you're talking about where like they need special teachers for this or they need this person for that. They create this language for it. And people are going to just having that exist. People are going to have to find that in people. And it's creating problems. It's not solving problems.
But this creating is, you know, I'm sorry. I just this irks me so much because our schools have been, I feel, dismantled in a way with runaway agenda items like this. That the purpose of education is to teach kids what they need to know, you know, to get started in life, to walk out into the world and know how to conduct themselves and talk and look and think and certain skill sets they have to have. And we keep expanding that as part of a business model that's good for politicians, I think, because they get to hire more teachers and the unions like them better and they win more votes. But that's not making schools better. It's diluting their ability to function, is it not?
Oh, completely. It's like they're trying to put these kids, they're trying to, like, you know, put the round peg in the square hole. They want them all to fit in this tight little thing, and it's just not possible. I think of, like, you know, I was a mechanic in the Navy, and I was, if someone had like loosened all the bolts for me and made mm-hmm. everything real easy for me, I would have never learned anything. I would never, like, they're not letting these people become who they're supposed to be. Like, we need people to be, you know, craftsmen, artists, you know, tradespeople. Unfortunately, we do need new politicians. We need things that aren't just like mathematicians or like whatever's going to fit into these little groups. We need people that think outside of the box, and I think that we're stunting that. And I don't know where that leads, but it's certainly not education.
We're talking to Greg Charpentier. He's a therapist. I think we're getting close to a point that's important, and part of what you're saying may be that struggle is what life is about, and part of the coddling of children, that is the way schooling and parenting is approached today for a wide variety of reasons I think that everybody's familiar with, that is causing us to not permit kids to experience normal growth, because normal growth is to see what your challenges are and to adapt. We always hear about how humans are such wonderfully adaptive creatures and how our brain has so many different ways of solving problems, you know, and we deny them that journey. That is the journey. That's how you find success, by confronting your inabilities to do things, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is. I think you never learn a thing when things are easy. Right, it's only when things get hard in life or a hard situation that you learn and you adapt and then you grow. You're never grow, and that's what you're supposed to do in school. You're supposed to be learning how to become who you're supposed to be. Instead, we put these labels on people, and then they're done. So, I'm done becoming who I'm supposed to be. I'm ADHD. You know what I mean? That just puts the cap on it, and you never develop this. Oh, all right. Well, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at science. What else is there out there? And then you've got this person who's like building beautiful houses, or this person who's like, an artist, a musician, or whoever. It doesn't matter. Like, they're not able. You have to hit a wall and then go in a different direction. That's life.
Yeah, like those little toys that just drive at something until they bump, and then they turn and go in another direction.
That's how we should be living. I think schools should be less rigid with, you know. Or, you know, yes, it's hard for you. This part is hard for you. Like, let's find out what you enjoy, because this is obviously not it. And not that I'm saying that people shouldn't have to, you know, pass the normal things, but I'm saying we shouldn't make it easier. It's like, all right, well, I didn't do that great in this, so I'm not going to lean into it, you know?
Yeah, because life is about solving problems. Like, my grandson goes to a school, I might have mentioned it to you, where they do project-based learning in the sciences, and they do projects. They get assignments. Here are the things you get to use, and here's the challenge you want to solve. And now that isn't worried about what skills they have, per se. It's saying, here is the goal. How are you going to solve it? And that's how you live life. That's what life is about, right?
I completely agree. Yeah. That's it.
Do you want to throw? We got a minute. You can throw in a caveat here if you want to protect yourself from a blindside over being indifferent to the burden of kids who are dealing with special problems.
You know what the caveat is? It's easy, because it's always my goal is to always look for the good in people instead of looking for what's wrong with them. So I think that's it. Also, listen to the podcast, Modern Therapist's Guide to Nothing. And I think that's about it, Todd. And I appreciate you having me on again, because this is always a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's do a regular thing. Let's schedule something for every week, because I like covering this kind of material. Say the name of your podcast again.
It's the Modern Therapist's with an S, Guide to Nothing.
Modern Therapist's Guide to Nothing. Sorry, what did you say?
No, we're just doing we're doing like Can You Die from Nightmares recently. We did that. And Serial Killer. I mean, we do everything.
Can You Die from Nightmares?
You know what, Todd? You can.
Really?
Well, wow. There was
I'm not that good of a dreamer, I don't think.
There was a group of Cambodian refugees who were dying from nightmares. And I think it had to do with, like, you know, being disattached from their culture and their spirits. And then they felt very vulnerable, plus all the trauma. I mean, it's super interesting.
Well, that's the power of the mind, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Greg, thank you so much. We will talk to you again next week, if that's good for you.
Works for me, Todd.
All right. Thank you so much. Greg Charpentier, he's a therapist. And I, you know, I want to get all different elements into the show, and I think that one's a good one.
TIC News Talk 1080.
Yes, it is WTIC. And good day to you. It's so much fun, this Elon Musk interview. Dying for you to hear one. Listen to this. This is just a quickie. Again, the South African guy. The South African guy has to teach us. Listen to what he says about Twitter. He's talking about Twitter
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
How if he gets control of it, you know, he wants there to be more free speech. And I just like what he said here. Very simple, straightforward.
Some of the smartest people in history have thought about it. And
he's starting off, some of the smartest people in history have thought about it.
Some of the smartest people in history have thought about it and said, like, free speech is important for a healthy democracy. It is important, and free speech only matters.
Ain't that the truth, huh?
Like say, when does free speech matter most? It's when it's someone you don't like saying something you don't like. Yeah. That's when it actually matters. Obviously, and it's pretty annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That's bad, but it's actually a good sign of that you have free speech.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's Elon Musk telling us about free speech, is when somebody you don't like says something about you that you don't like, and you have to celebrate that. And we're not doing that anymore because certain people in politics don't want to have to deal with it. Is that why we don't do it anymore? Or is it because we are sitting and watching while the structure of our society gets trashed?
It's getting worse, too.
What is?
I mean, just the entire narratives around social media and if things are allowed and where people go. I mean, look at Trump now. In my opinion, Trump seems way worse than he ever was on Twitter, and he's in his own sandbox. And that's exactly what they don't want. They always talk about these different websites with where they only have hate speech, where nothing is checked. It leads to the environment where there's no, you know, civil discourse. Who wants that? I mean, I don't know. The power structure probably wants that.
They threw Trump off of Twitter so that they could negate his political influence. That would seem to me to be the biggest hazard, is who can, if somebody holds the spigot and gets to turn up and down the temperature of what's being said, then you no longer have a free society. So people just have to decide, do you want a free society or not? And if you have one, you don't support the idea that people's speech should be restricted. That's straightforward enough, isn't it?
Now, back to the Todd Feinberg Show, live from the NJ Diet Studios on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Yeah, Reese on the radio. Reese Hopkins is here, reeseontheradio.com. Hello there, Reese.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Oh, man, I almost feel like this has been a rough week over and over again. It seems like every week is a rough week. I'm trying to keep my feet planted to the ground and my eyes focused, keep my head on a swivel. trying to wait for the next shoe to drop, if you will.
What is going on? What is the dramatic thing that's got you off kilter?
Well, first of all, I don't like surprises. So when things happen, I always get sort of flustered. I've learned over the last couple of years that it's best to try not to control everything. And I'm looking at, you know, this situation now with these gas prices. And, you know, I own a moving company. So I do a heavy amount of the, or I carry a lot of the weight of the transportation and gas, as it were. And I pay for so much gas now, it's almost frightening how often I'm back and forth at the tank.
Diesel?
Say again?
Diesel?
No, just regular gas.
Oh, good.
And the worst part is burning myself, and I mean that literally and figuratively. I'm burning myself because I'm buying 87. Like, I'm buying the low grade, which burns faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm only doing that to mitigate the cost of, mid-grade or high-grade.
So you notice the difference in your miles per gallon if you buy a different grade of gas?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a significant difference. And the thing about it is that now I almost feel like I'm burning a lot more than I did when the gas prices were lower. And I'm saying even when it was like at the low $3, you know, I almost feel like I'm burning gas a lot faster. And I think part of it is due to I'm not filling up as much as a lot of people, I'm sure, aren't. They're not filling up as much as they used to because, you know, I remember when I filled up my tank at $40, and I want to say that was a year ago. Now, I think I put in $45 just yesterday, and I got 3/4 of a tank.
It's really unbelievable, because what you're talking about, Reese, I mean, for you, it's your business, it's your livelihood, mm-hmm. and some foreign force that you can't identify and you don't know who it is and you don't know why is coming in and stealing a big chunk of what you would expect is going to be profit, and suddenly it's gone. And everybody's experiencing this. You know, home heating oil is a big thing in the Northeast and in Connecticut, and the price has gone up. Well, it's very similar to the price of diesel gas, and it's stunning for people looking forward to their delivery for the fall. And
right.
You know, some people don't fill the whole 275 gallon tank; they get half a shipment, so the bill is smaller, because that's a ton of money. And you start to think, wow, what if one of those is gone in a month or 6 weeks during cold season? How do I pay for that? Like, people are scared.
Yeah, and rightfully so. You know, I talked last week with you about, what some of the things that we can, share with each other that are life hacks to help us get through, some of the turmoil. But who would think a week later it would be things that were so insurmountable that we couldn't solve them with sort of life hacks? You know, the baby formula thing, the gas thing, aforementioned gas thing. These are things that we alone cannot help each other. You know, nobody's sitting around with baby formula if they're not selling it at an increased rate, or, have gas, gasoline sitting at the home, they can sell or give away, for that matter, to help people out. It's funny because my job as a moving company, to give you a sort of scale about how this is affecting me, mm-hmm. a 2-bedroom apartment, and I'm taking this sort of like in a very fundamental way, like anyone who's seen a 2-bedroom apartment, or if you live in a 2-bedroom apartment, that would cost me, with two guys moving it, it would cost a customer about $1,600 to $1,800 to get them moved. And that's on the low end, because I have a reasonable rate for my customers, and that's how I set my business model.
And is that for a local move, staying close?
Yeah, for a local move, right. Okay. For a local move, moving an entire 2-bedroom apartment, that means you've got it filled to the hilt,
yes.
three
people. Not burning a ton of gas.
Yeah, and you're moving like no further than 30 miles.
Okay.
And you could get that, we're talking $1,600 to $1,800. You got two movers plus a truck, mm-hmm. so $1,600. I've got the same move happening next month on the 25th of June, and that move is going to cost this customer, who's literally just one woman, it's going to cost her $2,500.
Why?
It has to.
What went up that much?
The fuel.
to go that short distance to drive? Yes, so you must bill from leaving your place.
She's moving from her apartment in Fairfax to a town called Centerville, mm-hmm. and it's literally 14 miles.
Wow.
And it's costing her, it's at least another, $800 more.
So how are you doing that in terms of how you communicate it to customers, Reese? That do you have a separate line item, fuel surcharge or something like that?
Yeah, we charge for now. We never charge for a driver. We had to put on a fuel surcharge, and we had to add the cost of the truck. So for things like maintenance and repair, we actually have to charge that for every customer. Normally, I never did that. Mm-hmm. But now, for every time the truck is used, I actually have to have some sort of contingency charge in the event that something happens, should a leak happen or a flat tire. I've got to at least mitigate that cost.
It's just such a large amount of money. I mean, you're talking about, a 60% increase?
Yeah. And it's I didn't think I would have to deal with it. But there's a reason why, is because now, because costs are so inflated because of inflation, mm-hmm. less or fewer people are moving, even in the most transient of neighborhoods. People aren't moving anymore.
Well, you've also got interest rates going up, and so people don't want to buy a house. And what you're laying out is in a very short time, you can feel what it means for recession to be setting in.
Yeah. And when people can't move, for whatever reason it may be, but some people move to, let's say they've got an empty, the nest is empty.
Yes.
People want to move into smaller digs. Some people can't even afford to do that. So they've got, they've got to hold on to what they have. Selling a house is pretty good for a lot of people who are selling, but some people are just holding on to dear life to even buy a house, just to see if they can get, hopefully that the market will allow them to buy. It's a seller's market right now, unfortunately, because I just remember last year during COVID, it was a buyer's market, and that changed in less than 6 months.
The costs that average people are facing are stunning, and there's so little regard for it on the part of the government, and they know to be scared about it, but their idea of dealing with it is just to go tell stories and distract people and try to get eyes off the ball.
Yeah,
but it's not an easy thing, and it's a political nightmare for the people who are running for office. Congress is going to get sunk, don't you think?
I think so. I'll say this just a little off the beaten path. I've got to mention the fact that I think the thing that's irritating more people, even though they're not willing to say it, we've got to drill. I mean, if politicians have to deal with the embarrassment of following Donald Trump's template of drill, baby, drill, in order to get these gas prices down, to at least alleviate some of the pain that people are feeling, just get over yourselves. Who cares? You're a hero at the end of the day if you can at least reach the common man in one of the most common places, and that's paying for gas to get to a job so they can feed their families.
But if you watch the Biden administration response to the baby formula thing. They just, it was on the news this morning, I think it was, maybe last night, that they were going to send some military planes to other countries to pick up formula. I was saying, really? You need a couple of weeks of a story roiling through the media, like the biggest story in the country, and for a couple of weeks, and it takes you that long to figure out you should send some military jets to go pick up formula elsewhere. If that was doable 2 weeks ago, why weren't you doing it 2 weeks ago?
I don't think that anyone in the Biden administration, I don't believe a lot of people in Washington, forget about the partisanship, I don't believe that a lot of people in Washington relate to everyday issues. Some of these people are
political wonks who are that way from the moment they get into college until they get into their adulthood and get into Washington. And they are so removed from people who live in Duluth, you know, that removed, they don't get it. And solving problems for the average American people is completely lost on them. And again, well, I said this before and I'll say it again. I think that politics, and especially Washington, can only deal with problems if they are associated with groups, not with individuals.
I take it, I think, in a different direction, slightly different direction. I think what you're saying is true, but at its core, what I see is that they don't, it's not part of their daily routine to worry about what's going on in the country, except that every news story is an incoming missile. And what they're trying to do is figure out whether it's going to hurt them or whether they can deflect it, make it fly over to the other side of the road and blow up there so it hurts their opponents. But they don't actually think about how to lead anything or make any decision or make an action happen that would make the country or the state or the city, whatever the entity is, run better. I don't think they do it because there's no indication that that's part of their daily routine.
Yeah, I think that right now politicians and Washington itself are more concerned with whatever they're doing and how it plays on Meet the Press this week with George Stephanopoulos and whatever newsroom it is out there. And I think the newsrooms play a huge part of that, because whatever the situation is, it's never about how it's affecting the American people. It's always about how it affects the person in office politically.
And that's all they would know how to answer if they were asked anyway, because that's all they're thinking about. And that's why it took Joe Biden 2 weeks to think, oh, let's just send a jet to go pick up some formula.
Yeah. Well, I would say, why not go down to the southern border and go get the ones that
same story
down there?
Couldn't they have said, oh, well, you know, we made a mistake. We should have intercepted half of that order instead of all acting all high and mighty about how, well, that's the law and we like to obey the law. Well, you don't care that much about obeying the law when you're inviting illegal immigrants to come into the country and then breaking the law so they can stay. You don't worry about it then. Why all of a sudden are you? They're just so gross, these people, Reese.
I know. And, you know, it's the reason why I call them political animals, because, indeed, that's what they are.
Animal being the key word. Reese Hopkins, ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Thank you, sir. Great to talk with you.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you next week. Reese Hopkins, his name is. R-E-E-S-E. And that's it for me today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.